Witness and public testimony to the local boundary commission continued all day Tuesday in Dillingham. Mayor Alice Ruby offered opening remarks for the city of Dillingham, which is hoping to re-annex the waters of the Neshigat Commercial Fishing District and to collect a 2.5% raw fish tax.
If you accept the LBC staff recommendation, you will be sentencing the residents of Dillingham to a future of continued inaction, and it will allow millions of dollars of revenue to escape the region and the state. The staff recommendation does not represent the best interest of the residents of the city of Dillingham or the state of Alaska.
One topic being debated by both sides is whether or not a Western Bristol Bay borough is feasible and whether annexation would encourage or detract from its formation. Ruby has been a part of several efforts over decades studying the issue and spoke about that in her statement.
The city of Dillingham has long been a supporter of borough formation in our region. Our neighbors do not support a borough that includes Dillingham. Consequently, nothing has happened and nothing will happen if you approve the staff recommendation. We will have neither an expanded city boundary nor will we have a borough in the foreseeable future because our neighbors are not ready to take that leap.
Jim Baldwin is a lawyer representing the native villages of Clark's Point, Portage Creek, and Ekuk, and the city of Clark's Point. In his opening remarks, he praised the LBC staff, whose report strongly opposed both the Dillingham and Manicotic annexation petitions.
Generally, we're supporting the concept that Neshigat Bay is more or less a regional asset. We also are going to strike a bit friendlier and hopeful tone about the prospects of the borough study than what you just heard from the mayor.
Baldwin voiced concern that annexation alone does not adequately address some regional concerns and recommended waiting to see what a borough feasibility study will have to say about other options.
I'm here to say that we agree. We think they're scholars, your staff, and probably near geniuses. That's where we come out on that. They took a careful look at what your regulations really provide and applied them. And I think that's what's needed in this case.
Dillingham lined up its witnesses, many pointing to the services the city provides that are used throughout the summer by the fishery and throughout the year by the region. Manager Rose Loetta spoke along those lines.
As your report documents, the majority of the fishery's resource is harvested by people from out of state. Those people rely on Dillingham, not Ekuk, not Manicotic, or Clark's Point, to deliver their goods, provide their food, sanitation needs, and in many cases take care of their boats. Concerning Ekuk's claim as a community, only two people live there year-round. The rest who fish there mainly reside in Dillingham, and yet the community of two benefits from revenues as if they were a year-round sustainable community. Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation provides a $500,000 grant to all the surrounding villages, including Ekuk.
Opposition to Dillingham's annexation petition has been led for years by Ekuk Natives President Robert Hyano, who lives in Dillingham.
Dillingham's annexation is not of reasonable scale. Information provided me shows that Dillingham's annexation petition, if approved, would make it the largest city in the state of Alaska by area, 434 square miles. This is significantly larger than what would be the next largest city, St. Paul, which is 295.5 square miles. Dillingham's request of 434 square miles would be significantly larger than the other cities in Alaska that levy a fish tax.
Hyano asked the commissioners to consider more equitable boundary lines if annexation was to be granted. He also asked them to give time for the borough feasibility study to continue. If not, he expressed hope that some other revenue-sharing mechanism could be established.
If there's to be an annex, leaves Dillingham and Manicotic as the two cities receiving the lion's share of the fish tax, there also needs to be a compact between all the communities that are part of the Neshigat Bay fishery covering taxation and the use of those proceeds to provide services to the region.
Public testimony carried on through Tuesday evening and was split relatively evenly between those who support and those who oppose Dillingham's annexation. BBEDC, BBNA, and the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation all offered statements in opposition. Susie Jenkins-Brito and her husband run a drift fishing operation and support the city's plan. She says that's in part to help fund the services it offers to the region and the fishery. Those included things like the DMV, the city jail, police force, harbor, dock, library, and even taking out the trash.
The city is at a budget deficit, and we're not capturing this this tax base that could help fund some of these essential services that support this enormous fleet that comes in the summertime. The trash statistic was staggering to me. $11,000 to take the trash out of the harbor, that's insane, but I can completely see that when the harbor is full. There are so many people here in town.
A spokesman for the Bristol Bay Area Health Corporation, Brian Reed, offered reasons why that organization is opposed.
It would be unjust for Dillingham to tax those who fish off their own shores with the revenue going only to Dillingham. This divisive splitting of community against community would make uniting the region as a borough very difficult, if not impossible. A borough can succeed only if Dillingham people come together with a desire to benefit the region as a whole, and with the goal of raising revenue that will be shared.
The commissioners floated a number of questions to witnesses throughout a lengthy day at City Hall Tuesday and continued to suggest they had not made up their minds. Public and witness testimony was expected to continue Wednesday. A decision is expected at a meeting in Anchorage Thursday. In Dillingham, I'm Dave Benninger.